Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Welcome to Both Types of Sports, where we discuss the NFL and the NFL offseason. I'm the Shootler, and there is Radio's Gigantor all the way from the Garden State. Hello, Gigantor.
Hello, Shoot. Feeling very gardeny, doing taxes and yelling at the state of Virginia and getting yelled at by the state of New Jersey and also splitting with New York. So it's a full bukkake of tax just drama for someone that makes such a pittance. You'd think they'd let the little guy slide for a little bit.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You moved to New Jersey, right?
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm the worst.
I don't know what the fuck. You're like a vegetarian that goes into Monk's Barbecue and asks for the vegan options. I mean, that's, you really don't have a lot of, you're not going to garner a lot of sympathy with the life decisions you've made.
You're completely right. Everything I've done is wrong. It's all been a mistake. I just should have been a mover. I should have just lifted couches for the rest of my life. Unironically, it's what I'm best at in this world. I should have done that.
You enjoy it. I mean, I don't. If most people don't like dragging big, heavy, fucking, you know, giant husks of things around houses and up and down stairs. Not only do you excel at it, but you seem to derive some sort of pleasure from it.
It's the biggest pop I've ever received in my life is single-handedly moving a couch, throwing it into a hauling truck and two little kids cheering up and down. That's the best pop I've ever got and ever will get.
I wish we all had Dan Orlovsky's confidence, like to be that garbage of a quarterback and then just to say the shit that he says on television and on X about who is qualified to have an opinion and who isn't qualified to have an opinion. And then another thing, these scumbag I don't know if he's a scumbag. I don't care for him as a television personality, I guess is the way I should say it. But one of the things that drives me nuts about this story, Tori, I didn't want to start with this, but where is it? The they're trying to turn this, and I sent you a tweet with, I believe it was Robert Griffin III doing a little bit of this, where Dan Orlovsky tweeted out, if you're making a big deal about Shador patting the ball now after his pro day workout, it means you haven't watched a single snap of his tape and are automatically disqualified from having an opinion. First and foremost, fuck off. I can have an opinion on anything I want, whether I'm informed or not. Doesn't mean it's a good opinion, but I certainly can have it. Secondly, the criticism was coming from players. The criticism, this whole story was brought up, Tor, by guys that are in the trenches, guys that are defending passers, guys going back and forth. And more than one of those players said, if he pats the ball in the pros, it's going to be a problem. And then immediately all the fucking white knighters come out the red capers and, well, Tom Brady patted the ball. Well, you can't compare a rookie quarterback to pros that have established themselves in the league. Baker Mayfield pats the ball. Well, okay, but Baker's established himself. You got guys that do it for a living saying it's a problem. They're allowed to have a fucking opinion. And I hate the take of, you haven't watched as much tape as me, so you can, nobody watches as much tape, hopefully, as an ESPN former quarterback personality. It's the way that it fucking goes.
This triples as white knighting and pandering and baseless.
Yes.
Well, it's everything rolled into one. If then arguments, if you're not me and haven't played NFL football, you can't then say this. You can't talk quarterback unless Dan Orlovsky's in the building in the mix. If I see a Peyton Manning, if I see a Warren Moon, somebody coming out here saying, I really don't like this. It's hitchy. It's just not a good look. It's not technically what you should be doing. I would take higher stock in that than Dan Orlovsky, who's awful online, who is decent at best on the panel, and people really think he thrives during his film breakdown. Well, that's not that hard if you've been a quarterback past high school. There's a lot of guys that are big dummies that aren't named Dan Orlovsky that I could meet with and do the exact same thing he does of breaking down a coverage. He's not special. He's not savant mind of the game, and where ESPN is lucky to have landed this guy. You're not. It's Dan Orlovsky. Yeah, he's got a good hairline. He's got a face for TV, and he speaks decently. That's about it.
Tony Romo is a big fucking goofball. And the fact that he predicted plays for a couple of seasons fresh out of football blew everybody's mind. But he's a grinning idiot with a gravelly voice. But he can, you know, he played quarterback. And so because of that, he's going to know more than any Tom, Dick, or Harry that's just sitting watching film on YouTube. I think half the people don't know what film is. They go back and watch old games and think that's a film breakdown. And I think you can you still pay for the service for a fan to subscribe and be able to break down film on NFL.com? That was a big deal like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, you could still get all the different camera angles, or it's just two camera angles, the reverse and the side, where you can watch the non-broadcast footage. And they also have the broadcast footage there right on the NFL Plus. So if that's what it is, then everyone has the access to the film for $7 a month.
We quibble about quarterbacks' hand size. We quibble about guys running in shorts and T-shirts at the combine. Deion Sanders' kid, especially when Deion Sanders is so involved, and Deion Sanders' kid is getting paid, and he's videos of him with altercations and wearing chains. Nobody's saying you're not going to draft him for this, I don't think. But it's all part of the equation. Like, you have to weight and balance out everything, and there's going to be an enormous amount of hype that Shedeur Sanders benefits from because of the way he holds himself and the way he conducts himself and his bloodline and what he's accomplished in college. But there's another side to that, and the people that immediately, like you said, crawl out of the woodwork, I don't think any of these people are passionately ardent about Shedeur Sanders getting drafted in the top five and he's the best quarterback in the draft. Nobody's saying that. But they realize they've got a chance to get online, and all of the dick riders that are fucking defending athletes all over the place, that's a banner that they will follow if they can avoid that type of criticism and all the race stuff and the lifestyle stuff that goes along with it. So yeah, that always falls short for me as far as some sort of defensive position you want to take on social media.
It always irritates when a quote-unquote big voice like Dan Orlovsky starts getting in the trenches with a bunch of morons that are talking about ball padding that one barely know what it is, barely know what it's supposed to be used for, and then Dan Orlovsky has to like settle down the brigade and say, no, you guys just walk away from this. This is my area. You guys can't talk about this. You guys can't, even as stupid and benign as an argument can be about patting the ball while it's in your hand, the fact that Dan Orlovsky feels like he needs to insert himself and then assert his status as a quarterback guy, it's very annoying. The way that he approaches things, it doesn't feel like classic ESPN personalities who would be somewhat relatable. A lot of them were just guys that could talk sports and do it in a way that would relate. Orlovsky and the new era of that brand is like, we know so much more than you, and we're going to make sure you know about it. And they wonder why people don't like them.
Speaking of injecting himself into the debate, here is the story that we were talking about. Your boy RG3, by the way, he put some in front of it because he didn't want to take the shit for saying NFL media. Shedeur Sanders patting the ball before he throws is a massive problem. I haven't heard anyone saying that, by the way. Let me just go on the record. I watch a lot of coverage and read a lot of coverage of the NFL. I haven't heard anyone saying it's a massive problem. I did see some players on social media saying that it could be a tip-off to them. People with common sense, quote, Tom Brady patted the ball before he threw it. Some NFL media. What a strong take, RG3, and then finishes up with stop the hate already. Let me remind everybody, having an opinion that differs with somebody else's opinion is not hate. Stupid people describe dissenting opinions as hate because they believe they're in some sort of main character syndrome where someone disagrees with me, there's a villain, I've got to smite them down with my virtual sword. It's not hate to wonder if Shedeur Sanders and his dad, who has been very boisterous about, I don't want my son playing here. Now, he's walked some of that stuff back recently, is something that a GM or a scout should take into account. That is a logical opinion. And if football players are saying that patting the ball is something that can tip off what's going to happen next, then that's just another data point that you can assimilate into your process. That's all it is. It isn't hate.
You're so brave, RG3. You're so brave. Way to be. Is that what you wanted? Way to stand up, pal. That's all you. And nobody's as brave as you. I noticed that you were so courteous as to not tag Andre Sisco, new safety for the Jets previously with the Jaguars, who made a comment about the ball padding. You're just the bigger man. Don't need to tag people and use some. It's just such unbelievable aggregator slop. This guy was a Heisman winner. This guy was a rookie of the year. I don't care that he flamed out after that. You have standards and you're living below them. You have achieved excellence in certain forms of athletics, and you are going the way of not the dodo, but the jackass. You're in my lane now. Get out of my lane, RG3. I couldn't run a 4.3. I couldn't do this. What you're doing, I can do this. I can put some stupid line with quotes. Get out of my lane. Get out of there.
This is your wash. This is washout lane. Well, I generally, you do a lot of bad shtick, Tori, but I thought this was good shtick you texted me today. Do you mind going over your top five things that you'd be doing if you were Robert Griffin III instead of social media engagement farming, which I guess is how he makes his living now?
I'd love to. I enjoy.
I have it. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I have my five. I have my top five here. Top five things I'd be doing if I were RG3 instead of this nonsense. Number five, I'd get really good at golf or bowling. That's what I do. I'm RG3. I got a sick physique. I'd probably wake up, look at my dick for about an hour in the mirror. Sure. Gaze at it. Just really enjoy it. Then I go bowl, try to get a 300. I go golf, try to become a scratch golfer. I'm an elite athlete. Why not conquer a new fun sport? I could even probably get invited to make some content eventually if I'm good enough.
I like the bowling idea because Steph Curry, I mean, Tony Romo was trying to make playing a major while he was actually playing football. The golf thing is really ubiquitous. Imagine, remember when Michael Westbrook, this might be before your time, but he became like a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and he was like entering tournaments and getting a lot of coverage. Like, if you're an elite athlete, find a niche sport. How about pickleball? How about if Robert Griffin III is out there dominating the pickleball court?
Right up his alley. Pickleball dorks and RG3 dork. It's truly perfect. Bowling may be too cool for him.
I like the I like the idea, though. Instead of engagement farming, learning to bowl. It's fantastic.
Athletes love bowling. There's great footage of Chris Paul being a great bowler, putting spin on it, all of it. Start the bowling league. That'd be awesome.
Or what's number four?
Number four. Open a Ford dealership near Baylor, help support their NIL program, and become a town legend. Maybe they'll put you in the Ring of Honor if they haven't already. Just become an institution around the school of Baylor in Texas. They already love you. You brought them relevancy in the early 2010s. You're not getting any better. You're not going to find people that like you more on Twitter.
No, or in Washington, or in Cleveland, or in Baltimore, or in any of the places he did his professional stuff. I love that idea. That used to be something that football players and baseball players, they had a car dealership. They had a restaurant. Put it right there on campus. Go contact Brett Oliverio and franchise the Sup Dogs out in fucking Tech, at Baylor.
Go ahead. You're great on TV. You can speak in front of a camera. You could do the commercials. You can do the promo. You can be heavily involved. Come to Griffin Ford. Right off the interstate. We'll hook you up. You want to play for us? Go ahead. Here's your car.
I'm going to say he can do both number five and number four simultaneously that you've pointed out here.
Shocking how that works when you're not being a dickhead online like he is already.
All right, what's number three?
Number three, Florida dive bar lifer. Live off Cameo and don't pay my taxes. That's what I would do if I was.
That sounds like that's Tor speak. Yeah, I don't know about Griffin.
That's a little bit of, you know, if I really wanted to be RG3, I'd go down there. That's what I could be doing, and I think he would thrive at that. People might submit some video requests for him.
There's a better way to make. I don't think there's a worse ways to make a living.
Number two, coach high school football, teach gym. Go ahead. You're an athlete, man. You're great. People will love you. They'll adore you. They'll listen to you as a coach. It's not going to be like my high school where everyone hates the coach and thinks he's a dickhead. It's going to be great. You're RG3. You have that credibility to get the respect of high schoolers to like invest a little bit and put a little effort in.
Hey, man, if Deshaun Jackson, no disrespect, is a coach at Delaware State University than Robert Griffin III. I bet he can just walk into a collegiate program. You just got to find a small school, and just your name alone is going to draw some recruits. I love this idea.
Go ahead. Yeah, I think he could do it. I think when I hear RG3 speak about real football stuff, I perk up a little bit because he played in the NFL for a while and he was a tremendous athlete. So I think that's a fine path. I see Mike Vick coaching at Norfolk State now. It's a great outlet.
The other problem is, I thought that was the actual tweet, but it's a picture I took. He's one of these guys that he drops this, which is clearly meant to stir people up, and then he goes and debates everybody in the comments. And like, that's something I would do. I got nothing going on. Like, if you had this much going on, like, didn't Netflix pay Griffin to be on the fucking panel for those games, those garbage games they overpaid for on Thanksgiving? Like, you shouldn't be engaging in that. You should be paying a nerd to put this shit up for you on your account, like we think Antonio Brown is doing.
Oh, he definitely is. Antonio Brown, whoever he hired. I know he hired one of the big accounts. It's not. Go ahead, do that. It's a way of building your brand, however bad you want to be appearing as.
Is he paying someone to drop the other F word, though? Because, I mean, he's doing a lot of stuff that I think probably would be frowned upon by any social media entity out there.
I believe I muted Antonio Brown, so I missed that occurrence. Well,
you know how he does Cracker of the Day and he does all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lineman doing an LGBTQ plus football camp.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Yes, yes, yes. I'm aware of the camp. I did not see AB Boomin's response.
I think that's AB's tweet right there. I don't think he paid for that one. What is number one, Tor?
Number one, buying a house close to a body of water and living out my days in peace.
See, that's always a great option. He's still in his 30s, right? Like, he's got a lot of life to live, so maybe the competitive juices aren't going to allow him to do that. But that's still a better option than engagement farming. It's more worthwhile. And then, by the way, learning to paddleboard, you know, learning to fish. There's all types of skills that can be acquired over there.
Start playing beach volleyball. Do whatever you want to do. If you want to do a lake, start learning how to fish. Do whatever. Just do whatever you want to do that isn't this, that isn't being chronically online. As a former just elite athlete, someone that really had I probably maxed out their potential in college, gave it a real college try in the NFL, and then stayed around, took the backup role, took the lower pay, didn't keep churned away in Baltimore. It's done. Be done. You don't need to stay in the mix. It's there's hate in the mix. There's nonsense in the mix. You're better than this. I'm not better than this.
No.
A lot of people aren't.
Unless it's the bold Chex mix. There's nothing better than that. The bold or the spicy dill pickle.
The spicy dill pickle. And this is one of the rare times I will ever agree with Ant-Man on palate. First time I had it, it lit me up.
Come on, dude.
That first time I had it, it was lighting me the hell up, shoot. Hand to God. And I think I take spice very, very well. They had the spice on turbo in that bag that I had.
This is a disrespectful thing for a man to say. It's one of the rare snacks that actually has some heat behind it. You know what it's like when you buy the spicier nacho or flaming hot Cheetos? It don't taste like shit.
Jeff, I agree.
Well, doesn't sound like it. Thank you so much for the $19.99 super chat.
I'm butt sliced.
$20 super. I need to tighten that up. $20 super chat. Thank you so much. Let it rip, boys. You know, we always did. Tor already coming in hot with his spicy mix takes and his top fives. I'm loving it. Cool story, bros. $19.99. Thank you, buddy. Sorry if this isn't BTOS related, but BUTT. Well, really intrigued as Tor outfatted his previous record of eating fat sandwiches. Love BTOS. Well, then you need to listen more often. Cool story.
I'm butt sliced.
Butt size for that $19.99 super chat. We just talked about how you outfatted yourself again a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Didn't you have a new fattest fatting you've ever fatted?
I'm so fat. I don't know. I'm trying to recall the fattest. Nothing's fatter. I haven't done anything with such remorse as the fat sandwich.
You had some horrific. And the thing that made it so sad is you broke and were eating a bunch of like freezer shit or. Oh, it was when you made the organic mac and cheese with like the turkey pepperoni in it or something.
The slop. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a slop show.
Yeah, that was actually like a really unfortunate effort of a 27-year-old trying to cook. Hey, congrats, Dotson. I'm glad you got a recipe. I'm glad you can make the shells, pal. I'm sure.
Those Thanksgiving shells are fucking delicious. You got to give him that.
He doesn't deserve a shot for being a little more, for being more well-rounded than me. So I will take that, walk that back.
He's still got to live with that, the freckle on the nose and the bad breath. But I love those Thanksgiving shells. Thank you, Cool Story Bros. And David Flaccoberry is in the building. We do accept super chats on this program. $5. Thanks for being here, boys. Thank you for being here, David Flaccoberry. I want you to write this down, Tor. Okay. I don't know if this is the fattest fatting I've ever fatted, but I was listening to a podcast and the host was talking about a type of cheese. And whenever I hear cheese, I perk up. And it's called, you ready?
Uh-huh.
I want you to Google this. It's called Cougar Gold. Okay. Look that up. And I'll spoil it a little for you. It's named Cougar Gold because it comes directly from Washington State University, which of course is famous for having that guy wave the flag on game day for 10 years, whatever that was. And they, I guess their side hustle when they're not playing football and watching it rain every single day is they make what I can only describe as giant fucking drums of cheese, like a big hubcap. I ordered this thing. They're outrageously priced. I think what I ordered was $40. Mm. I ordered two different cans. One was $38. One was $37. They both arrived, and they're fucking huge. And I thought it was cheese dip, but it's more like just a wheel of cheese that you have to, as soon as you pop it out of the can, you got to cut it up and put it in various Tupperwares, or it's not going to stay safe. And I didn't realize this. So my wife came downstairs and she looked in the fucking fridge. And she's like, what is all this? I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I bought a massive mail order piece of cheese from Washington. But I broke a little piece off of it. I think you're supposed to cook with it. That wasn't going to happen. Fucking delectable cheese. Absolutely fantastic.
I think I found it here.
Put it up there on the backstage.
Oh, is this how do I take it out of the backstage?
That's it. That's it. What, Fetterman likes Cougar Gold?
Yeah, I guess so. Big Miller Lite, big wheel of cheese, wheat thins, and it looks like the General Crackers that's me as a senator. It's just a big head, this stupid beard, big thumbs up. Yeah,
I know. He likes to dress comfortably too, as do you. He didn't do very well on Rogan, and neither would either one of us. But those are the club crackers, of course.
Yeah, the club crackers. Yes.
Yeah. Man, it was great. I couldn't get it to spread, but they say if you let it get to room temperature, you can just like spread it almost on the crackers. I plan on doing that next. Get a big stick of pepperoni, and who knows what's going to happen? Maybe some spicy pickles. Insert it in the keister. All right. There's so much to talk about. The Patriots right now, I think, are the epicenter of the football universe, which is strange. I also, Tor, maybe we start with that. Let's get caught up first, and then we'll start with that. Al Sal, $5. Thank you. Would Tor lend Jimmy his demon sword to protect his home? Does it bother you that Tor has a better home defense plan? I'll hang up and listen. Al Sal, thank you for the $5. I don't know that Tor, you know, well, yeah, I called you on the show. Let's stay on target. Let's stay on target. Al Sal, save that for solid dudes. Love you, but Jesus Christ. trying to do a professional football show here. As you can tell by the segment we just had, talking cheese. All right, so I don't know how many quarterbacks people are saying are going to go in the first round, but Jalen Milroe wasn't one of the ones that I read was scheduled to. And so when this report came out that he has been invited to attend the 2025 NFL draft day, and it's in Green Bay, people. This is not exactly an easily accessible place. There's not a hub there. It kind of raised some eyebrows because, as Chase Daniel posted in this tweet we're showing, if you're listening on the audio portion of this show, this is a clear indication that Milroe has a first round grade by teams. As much as Chase Daniel knows more about football than I don't necessarily agree with that, Tor. There's two things that could be happening here. One is they televise the second day of the NFL, and he's an Alabama quarterback that's highly regarded, and it's good to have big names around there. It could just be they want him around. But what I think is more likely, and what I'm starting to hear people say, is that Travis Hunter is going to go to the Browns, all right? And everybody knows the Browns have got to get a young, cheap quarterback that they can develop to be their future while Deshaun Watson dies this miserable, expensive death in front of all of us, even with the acquisition of Kenny Pickett. Does this not scream that the cat is out of the bag, that the Cleveland Browns are going to take Travis Hunter with their first pick and then sneak back into the back end of the first round so they can get that fifth-year option on a quarterback, which is so goddamn valuable now in the NFL? I think that's what this has to be all about. And if that's the case, man, what a leaky fucking ship. Like, who is telling the NFL what about what they're planning to do on the draft where they feel comfortable paying for him and whoever he's going to bring and paying for hotel rooms and accommodations? That's pretty wild to me.
I had not even considered that possibility. That is really shocking. Because I don't think Jalen Milroe is a first round quarterback, but this first round grade term, like the term grade, I just think it's so misleading. I thought he would fall to be like the fourth or fifth quarterback selected. I found myself to be very unimpressed with him, but I'm not in the war room, and Cleveland is really, really, really unfortunate at selecting quarterbacks. Yeah. So it makes 1,000% sense that this, it makes a lot. You find a young, exciting piece to get people in, and then you also have young, exciting, fast, big armed quarterback who, while I don't think he's very good at quarterback, that is another pathway to general excitement and the front office keeping their jobs on that 3-year quarterback gamble, like we saw take place in San Francisco before they lucked out with Purdy. That was the last real time where I felt like teams were putting their ass, or the people drafting were putting their asses on the line for a quarterback draft pick. Milroe might be the next one. I hadn't considered him in a first round buy back in or trade back in scenario, but this is, yeah, that could be moving the draft night meter for me a little higher if that's in the cards.
It's such a unique situation, Tor, and I think you very rarely see Jimmy Haslam comes out and says we fucked up, like it was an organizational mistake. I think it's what he said. I don't remember the last time I saw an owner or any representation from an NFL football team admit that they fucked up signing a guy while the guy's still on the roster. Like, I just, even with Albert Haynesworth, like, people kept that shit close to the vest. So that's something to be said for. I'm with you on the Browns track record, but if you take a look here, this is the draft order. They're sitting there at 33, which is pick one in the second round. Look at those teams that are sitting there at the bottom. Let's take the Washington Commanders out of it because that's still fresh meat. Do it a couple of more. The Bills, Kansas City, and Philadelphia. What do good teams do? Is they take advantage of desperate teams. And if Cleveland was going to say, all right, we'll give you, you know, the first, second round pick, we'll throw a player in or another, I absolutely could see them jumping up because there sits the New York Giants. We know the Las Vegas Raiders may still meet a quarterback at that point. If they go with the running back, there's quarterback hungry teams below them. I wonder if Cleveland would look at that and say, we want to make sure that we get up and take our pick and get our guy in the first round. I think there's some logic to that point.
That could be a Cleveland versus Vegas duel, because in the scenario, I wanted to think that, you know, maybe if the Giants took Abdul Carter instead in the first round, and maybe we're looking at a situation where it just lands at Cleveland. But if Cleveland did take Hunter, then Giants would probably take Shadur, and then it's just in between Vegas and Cleveland for Milroe. Well, you better start learning Vegas Jackson Dart, because Cleveland's got that higher priority. Or maybe Vegas is even more desperate than Cleveland is. I guess maybe not, though, because they extended Geno Smith another 2 years.
You don't think that's a good idea? They're one of the most unstable franchises in the league, and they have, if nothing else this offseason, that they have instilled a sense of stability with the coaching position and the quarterbacking position. And statistically, Geno's the top 7 or 8 quarterback in the league. I don't know why you hate that so much.
I just don't think he's I don't see how they're competitive with him. It's a bridge year for – it's probably two bridge years for a 73-year-old coach and a franchise looking to fill that spot, that quarterback spot, to learn behind Geno, which is fine. But the presentation of we found our quarterback in the future in Geno Smith, when he had one exceptional year in Seattle and three other pretty mediocre years.
You're out of your mind.
I don't buy that hype around Geno. I think Vegas could be fun. I romanticize the Oakland Raiders more than I should because they've been a garbage fire for a long time. But I look fondly on them. I want them to be more fun and better.
So 2022 is the exceptional year, I would assume, you're talking about, where he had the 30 touchdowns. In 2023, 3,600 yards, 20 touchdowns, only 9 picks. Last year, 4,320 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 15 picks. With there's some umbrage there in Seattle. And his accuracy, his quarterback rating is always through the roof. He's well-regarded. Pete Carroll knows him. I'm going to slightly disagree. Here's where I will say that Oakland needs to acknowledge this. If you don't have a young quarterback in the building that you are developing, I think you're missing out on the entire theme of the NFL right now. And that's why what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing, they have to draft a quarterback. I don't care how many veterans they sign. Same with the New York Giants. Same with the Oakland Raiders. Oakland's got the best situation. Would you agree to that? That's better than Jameis Winston?
Summer's hotter weather is finally here. But don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And Russell Wilson and Mitch Trubisky. Who the fuck is it? Mason Croft? Who's it got? Mason Rudolph.
Mr. Rudolph. Yes, yes. Geno Smith is better than all those other options. All right. Unfortunately, Geno Smith has less options to throw to in Vegas than Pittsburgh and New York.
You ain't kidding. They got a draft. I mean, it's great. You want to take Genty. I think he's going to be if he goes to Chicago, by the way, can you imagine? Yeah. I'm hearing that all over the place.
That one's starting to pick up some real interesting buzz. And that has become a one that is really fun to speculate and start imagining that offense, which would go from good at best with Caleb and no running back, but a real legit threat in the backfield, a couple real legit threats on the outside, and that gets that guy comfortable, and then Chicago's immediately dangerous in the NFC North.
I think they're already dangerous just because of the coaching change. I think there's going to be a different mindset the offseason they've had. I mean, a lot of people have said they've had the best offseason, including, you know, a wide receiver in their division. Who do we think, though? So then, are the Raiders taking McMillan? Like, I think maybe you're looking at a situation, Tor, and I've heard people talking about that. Wide receivers are so goddamn expensive now that it's just worth more. The position group is worth more. So if you're going to take one, you take it in the first round, you keep them on that rookie deal. Because even if you've got to pay a running back Saquon money, it still doesn't sniff the balls of what CeeDee Lamb is getting and Ja'Marr Chase are getting. So I think it's irresponsible for the Raiders, if they like one of those top three wide receivers, to heavily consider taking him there.
Yeah, it's just not the strongest year for wideouts. So I understand that they're doing all their full due diligence on Genty. I think they're still 3 years away from competing, because right. Denver is getting good quickly. The Chargers are very solid, and then you have the Chiefs. So it's going to be a couple fourth place finishes in a row. Even if they try their hardest and have great years and exceed the low expectations I'm setting on them, it's still a very high uphill climb in that division, especially.
The one wide receiver, somebody was mocking out Matthew Golden to Arizona. And I think Arizona is one of those teams on the come up. And Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think is going to have as many inconsistencies next year as he does. And you have those two guys as your options with Kyler's mobility. And they re-signed Connor, right? He's going to be there. But that guy never ages. He's going to have fucking 12 touchdowns until 2030. I like that. I like the upward mobility of that.
They just paid McBride, too, who... He had a great year last year. He doesn't get in the end zone enough, though. 5 touchdowns over 2 years. We're looking at a Kyle Pitts with way more catches, and I need a tight end in the end zone. It's great to move the ball down the field, but that's what I'm paying the running backs and wide receivers to do. End zone time, red zone, I need my big guy getting that ball in the back of it. So maybe that's there. There's more to come there. I don't know what to make of Arizona. I haven't known what to make of Arizona for the last 3 years. And I could be I thought I knew what they were when they went on that tear with Kyler, and then they collapsed, and their coach went to Thailand, and they brought in a new coach whose name I can barely remember, and they still have Kyler Murray, and we see Kyler Murray still a huge question mark. So I don't know, like this draft from Arizona, get a wide receiver, get a defensive lineman, whoever, whatever you want to get, but I'm not going to understand their vision until I see them play, and it'll still be confusing to me.
It sucks because I'm with you. It took me a full season to remember who Jonathan Gannon was. And like everyone remembers the offensive coordinators when they get jobs. And then everyone's got to sit there unless it's Aaron Glenn and he was an all pro in front of your face for so many years. I guess you get the fucking shaft. That's why you need to just continue to work out and be a big fucking lurch with a chin that goes out to the middle of the stadium with a goatee like Dan Campbell. Everybody's going to remember who you are. Al Sal is still fanboying out for Tor, which is, of course, relatable. Jorge Gonzalez, $4.99. Thank you so much for the super chat. Would love for Genty to go to the Cowboys. I bet you would. So they're at 12. I don't see him getting past Vegas and getting past Chicago. There's just been too much smoke around both of those teams in regards. I don't know, man. I would have to be a player away, Tor. Like, if Chicago believes they're a player away from contending for the Super Bowl, then you go for a running back that high, even when it's all knees and elbows like Genty. But if I would have to be pretty goddamn confident to draft a running back there in 2025.
Yeah, because Chicago can't go into another year of the offensive line. It's the offensive line. Yeah. Caleb does. You can't do that in the NFL, especially with a young quarterback that you took at 1-1. It doesn't work like that. You have to shore up, or you have to at least make the impression or the effort to look like you are doing that. And I think they have. They signed some free agents on the offensive line, paid some guys. But you have to, if there's a guy at 9 where the Bears are picking that's playing offensive line and one of the few that has that first round, we need to pick him here because there's a big drop. I think there is a drop off this year. Like, it's a big defensive line class. So they need to get that offensive lineman and then maybe draft one of the other good running backs in the second or third round. I want to see Genty there. I could be happy seeing him in a lot of places, but Chicago has bigger fish to fry. Cowboys, they have an offensive line. They have they need a spark in the backfield. I don't think Dak Prescott can do it all on his own without a run game. They need someone that's better than Rico Dowdle. I think Ashton Genty is that.
He's gone, by the way. And they signed Miles Sanders. I mean, how old is Miles Sanders?
They're terrible. Miles Sanders, God bless him, knee injury, Achilles injury, fought like hell at every spot that he landed at. But, brother, the Cowboys' big splash landing in the backfield is Miles Sanders. What are we doing? What are you doing in Dallas?
Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders, Deuce Vaughn, and Malik Davis. Another thing, though, that if they draft the Genty would, it's a big name that normies know, Tor, and they've neglected the running back position now for two straight fucking years, and it silences a lot of those critics, especially when I am baffled. The level of insulation these owners must have, especially when, like, Jerry Jones, these owners, a lot of times when they're being horses asses, like David Tepper shows up at a bar and like screams at the fucking lady to take her hat off or whatever the fuck that bit was, like, that aside, because that guy's a psychopath.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones does a bit. He can't stop himself from being in front of microphones. He's the general manager. He walks on after the games. He's holding press conferences. He's going on 105.3 The Fan every goddamn week. How can he not understand that not being willing to speak to your players' representation that they are paying to retain for their services is completely unprofessional, a terrible look, and makes you look like a petulant 90-year-old man? I am dumbfounded that he is so insulated. I guess he just doesn't care. I guess he really gives zero fucks what everyone else thinks about him.
He may be the last of the old guard that's trying to preserve that power balance where the owners are just dominant over the players in every facet. That could have been the power play of we're playing Dak on the Sunday of NFL kickoff last year. he's so out of his mind. If he was just making these mistakes and was like, yeah, I missed on that, and you know, we're really trying, we're churning. He's not, though. He's a performer. He's a bit of a carny, and that carny act brought a lot of people to become Dallas Cowboys fans. It got them the most advanced stadium that was a decade ahead of all the other tech in the NFL stadiums, but they're passed by now. That stadium, you have SoFi. You have a lot of other stadiums that have caught up and surpassed you, Jerry, and all these GMs have also. Yeah, just seeing the build, seeing where what he prioritizes, and it's being Jerry Jones. It's not, hey, I'm really prioritizing getting the best players and making the best strategy for this team possible. He likes being Jerry Jones.
I know, but and there's been allegations that he really doesn't care about winning, that he cares about the brand and he cares about the star and the money coming in, and that's still top notch. But Tor, there are some gong show fucking owners in the NFL. None of them say, I'm not going to work with your agent. I'll only talk to you. It's just not the way business is done. And it's Bart of Barts, even though he's offering this kid to be paid as much as any non-quarterback has ever been played in the history of the NFL, it's disrespectful as shit. Like, I have hired representation to do exactly what this is. It's why I'm paying this exorbitant amount of money. And you won't talk to him? Yes, you will. Or I'm going to just wait this whole thing out like everybody else does and wait for the Giants to give me this money, or the Commanders, or the Eagles, or anybody else that would line up for Mike Parsons' services.
Yeah, the player isn't big timing you, Jerry.
No.
He's going through the proper channels. He's doing the responsible thing. He's going through the classes, protecting his money, making sure his ass is covered legally. Everything that he can do right, he's trying to do right. That's why you hire these people. Deal with them. It's part of the job. You've been around long enough. All right, just trying to flex nuts and impose will. Give me a break.
Yeah, but it's weird though. It would be like if he kicked the door into the weight room and like challenged Ronnie Coleman to a bench pressing contest.
Yeah,
like, stay in your fucking lane. Like, there's so many different ways you can flex nuts and check people that isn't defying the way business is done in your realm of business. I'm looking at the Bears depth chart here, Tor. Of course, everyone knows they brought in all those offensive linemen. So I forgot they brought in Zacchaeus, who actually looked flashed at the end of the year last year for Washington. But Roma Dunza, DJ Moore, Caleb Williams, Cole Kmet, and no disrespect to DeAndre Swift, but if Genty's there with Ben Johnson calling that offense, I think they brought in Antoine Randall to work with the wide receivers too. I think is another. They hired a bunch of guys away. That's scary. That is a scary fucking team right there.
Yeah, that is going to be a problem. I especially because I'm predicting a big year for Caleb Williams. He's got an NFL arm. There's a lot of things looking back at his season last year. I know that there were a lot of mistakes, but when he was firing, oh, it was exciting. And it was a different, like, not just scrambling and making something happen. But when he stood back there and just delivered a strike across the middle, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It's separating from a lot of other rookies that we're seeing. It's not like watching Bo Nix kind of run with his head cut off up to the line and dunk one off for a great improvised play. This is Caleb Williams, NFL quarterback, with a rifle on his arm. Just let it happen. Let him be great. Ben Johnson, I think, is going to be huge for him.
Ben Johnson got Jared Goff to 4,629 yards and 37 touchdowns. You don't think, no disrespect to Jared Goff, Super Bowl quarterback, first round pick, you don't think Caleb Williams' ceiling is higher than Jared Goff's? I mean, what are we fucking talking about? If he's able to, and Goff got better, by the way, Goff was good every year Ben Johnson was there, and he got better every year that Ben Johnson was there. Now, they had all the weapons too, but the Bears have got some weapons.
I will give credit to the Bears for pulling the trigger and saying, you know what, we got this guy. Yep. We decided where we're taking the next step and drafting the quarterback of the future again. And he has a doofus coach right now. And the coach is being super weird and no one seems to like be digging it, or the whole offense feels off. Scrap it. We're going balls to the wall. We're getting an in-division rival coach that's going to make us an actual contender. I commend them for taking the right steps to improve and not just waiting it out like this. Like sometimes you could just tell that the writing's on the wall. New York, I used to crush them for keeping Daboll, but what is there for the next coach to come in and really resuscitate? Daboll can stay for another year, have another three wins. It wouldn't make a difference if you got an excellent coach in there for whatever quarterback that they bring in.
I feel like doesn't matter. I get rid of Tyson Bagent, be the first thing I do if I'm Ben Johnson. I'd just be like, there's too many weird vibes about that guy, and he said some weird shit in the past. Like, he'd be gone. I think they signed Case Keenum, who's basically, everyone says Case Keenum's going to walk straight out of his pads and become a quarterback's coach and then be a head coach like in the first 3 years after he's done. The hell else was I going to say? I forgot. Okay. Thank you, Jorge. Appreciate that. We accept super chats on the show. Hit the like button, you cowards. This was the thumbnail, and so for me, Tor, it's the big story of the week. That ain't it. I mean, it's gonna be like probably year three or four I'll be able to fucking run a goddamn show. That ain't it either. Boy, maybe I'll just hang myself right here on fucking, I mean, can we Logan Paul this? Go, I'll just go to the suicide forest and ruin my life.
I don't have the login to end the stream, so yeah. I would need to have that, but
well, let's start here, and then we can get to Joe Milton. Patriots voluntary offseason program starts today. Mike Vrabel last week, this is a quote, "I write a letter voluntarily to the players to make sure that they voluntarily read it and voluntarily show up." I forgot who made the point. I think it was our old buddy Ben Volin who said this is where Mike Vrabel, the player, would write a letter in saying, "I voluntarily declined to not voluntarily show up."
Oh, yeah.
This is Mike Vrabel, the coach. This combined with the move with the backup quarterback tour, he is not fiddle-fucking around. They have spent more money than most NHL teams spend in 2 years this offseason. It is nut-cutting time for Vrabel and the Patriots already. I don't hate this. You got a lot of pearl clutchers out there. Florio's clutching his pearls about this, but not just let's all get together and work. Let's get together and be on the same page. And I don't want to hear any stories about, hey, why isn't Drake May at Mike Vrabel's introductory press conference? Why isn't Drake May addressing the media at the end of the season? No, we're all going to be here, so nobody has that ammunition moving forward. And this reeks of old school. I have no problem with it.
I think Robert Kraft is like a very down low, super hard ass about winning and excellence and culture.
You think?
Everything. When Brady started getting, I guess when he felt that his welcome had been worn out in New England, he got booted. Belichick booted. Two legends of the game. Best at their respective roles, maybe in the sport. They dick around for a couple years, and now you're bringing Mike Vrabel back to it. We're not messing around anymore. It's exactly what I thought that he would do when he started coaching in New England. And New England's going to be better. They are going to be a better team this year. They're going to steal one from the soft-ass Dolphins. And they're going to do it by punching the soft-ass Dolphins in the mouth. They'll probably sweep the Jets. They'll be competitive with the Bills. They'll probably get swept by the Bills because they don't have that talent. But it'll not be the same, oh God, the Patriots, who do they have type of team. It's look out. You're in a fist fight, and I think we're looking at some of those old Tennessee teams starting to emerge in New England again, which I think it's good. Does one of those two teams, either the Patriots or the Cowboys, have to become a heel again, because this Chiefs heel thing, they didn't do it right. They started mixing in a bunch of other non-football stuff. They had a lot of likable players, which makes it tough. But the Patriots getting back and the Cowboys getting back puts us back at a natural order of things, I think.
I think that the Chiefs are heels for the wrong reasons, too. This is a jag that we weren't talking about. But I don't know that they're heels because of their excellence. I think there's fatigue from that tour. But they're heels because of Pat Mahomes' wife and brother. They're heels because of Taylor Swift being on camera 24 hours. The Kelce's Douchebag podcast. We can't escape them. They're all over our cereal boxes everywhere. I mean, one of them had a baby, and it's like it's 15 stories. They're on the podcast. Like, is there any private moments that happen anymore for public figures? It drives me nuts. When the Patriots were fucking heels, it's not only are they the best, but they'll deflate the football a little bit and they'll float a camera on a goddamn helium balloon over your practice in the Super Bowl. Like, they were trying to win and bust ass.
They're not dicking around. It meant something. We're getting the upper edge. You know why? Because you're not brave enough to do it. You don't have the balls to put your whole reputation on the line, get called a cheater your whole career, and keep on winning, even when they sanction you and investigate, and you keep winning. It's a perfect. That's how you become a heel.
And God bless the Cowboys. First of all, they won 100 Super Bowls, but then they're doing monstrous piles of cocaine. Everybody's fucking nuts. They got a house to go to just to do drugs. I mean, that's some heel shit. That's some Tony Montana shit.
This new Snapchat heel, TikTok dancing on the logo. It's not fun. It's not fun because you're not rooting against the Chiefs for football reasons. Rooting against the Patriots for football reasons was awesome. It was great. You could loathe Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, enemy number one. It just great players playing exceptional football elicits a stronger reaction than whatever the hell we've seen from the Chiefs.
Did you see who Wes Welker is going to be assisting this season?
I did. He will help that team.
I love it.
Only if it's him working with the other whitey wide receiver and Luke McCaffrey. Bet he makes Luke McCaffrey better.
It's but awkward how much people love Luke McCaffrey. He doesn't do Dickola. It's just like, he's a white wide receiver. That's why. Is Wes Welker, he's player quality control. He had like a weird title. I couldn't figure out what it meant.
Bulbous head control. How to customize the helmets to properly fit and not get concussed. I mean, maybe worst head shape the NFL's ever seen, Wes Welker's.
He's handsome, though. He's a handsome gentleman.
That's true.
All right. The story that I wanted to talk about that was on the thumbnail is, we all know that Dak Prescott, 4 years, $240 million contract extension. It's not just that. He is the highest paid player in NFL history, unless I've missed something very recently. When you trade for a quarterback that's a backup and is got aspirations to be more, and you have a quarterback with a contract like that, normally you would think, okay, we don't have anything to worry about. But Joe Milton III was run out of New England because there was something going on. He popped in the preseason and he popped in the final game where they fucked themselves and the Giants out of the
first
round pick. And the fan base liked him and the fan base enjoyed him. And he does. You talk about being online. His highlight clips. He's throwing the ball 80 yards on a dime, the back corner of the end zone. He's fun in front of the fucking mic. He's running around. I don't know if he'll ever be a starter, but he's the type of player that fans rally around. And Drake May is a lot of things. He ain't that. He's not a guy that you watch him behind a podium or you watch him. He's weird and
can't remember a word he's ever said. I can't. I can't really remember many of his plays last year.
Would you agree that we've never seen a quarterback? Dak Prescott is the quarterback of the motherfucking Dallas Cowboys. The onslaught of criticism. We act like he couldn't get benched this year. Here's how it happens. The second week of the preseason, Joe Milton's going to throw for 3 touchdowns, some fucking jag. That's going to be bagging groceries at Wegmans the very next week. And it may not matter anything to the guys inside that locker room, but it's going to matter to everyone else. And Jerry Jones is going to be asked about it by Sean and RJ. And it's going to be a narrative every time. God, what if they start 1-2? Dak Prescott goes out there and throws interceptions. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. This is not the type of cat that I would bring in and have behind Dak Prescott in a year like this, where I have done nothing to reinforce the trend that we saw last year, which is the Dallas Cowboys are extremely underwhelming on offense.
You could almost see the chess move of the double-edged sword questions coming in, where in the preseason after that 3 touchdown game, it's, this is why we bring Joe Milton in. He's quality. He's strong, big arm. And we really like what we saw, and we really like him having him in the building. Start 1-2. Well, no, this is Dak's team. We're not thinking about Joe at all. You know, he's a backup. This is Dak's team. I will not take any more questions on the starting quarterback matter. Well, then why'd you say this is why we bring him in? Yeah. Why'd you say that? I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it in real time that the Cowboys are shit again, and they're in a myriad of controversy around the quarterback position. A guy that you're paying, I think, quick math, $55 million a year. That's tough. Tough to equate that with a losing record. I think they'll be better with Dak Prescott healthy, but they were bad before he got hurt last year. Yeah. They were spiraling before that injury in Atlanta.
And Milton's 25, and it's his third year he's going into. I think it is. And he 22 of 29, 241, touchdown, 23-16 upset over the New England Patriots. Matt Flynn got a big fucking contract off of three starts, I think, for the Green Bay Packers. Went out there, got beat out by Russell Wilson, but he's, you know, his kids went through college very comfortably, got a nice house for himself. I just don't, this is, there's backups that I bring in. The Trey Lance thing made sense. Trey Lance never threatened nobody, can't bust a grape.
Yeah.
He didn't have the charisma. This is different. This feels different for me. And it's very interesting, Tor, that Vrabel simultaneously moves that kid out and then says, everybody's got to be in here. I mean, he is all in on Drake May. It probably was told to him by Robert Kraft. He needs to make that work, and he's not going to have the luxury. Jay Gruden gets to town. You better make RG3 work. And then he's trying to bring Kirk Cousins in. Like, that shit was off the rails from the jump. It sounds like Vrabel is trying to set himself up with the best possible chance of Drake May becoming what people think he can be.
Yeah, there's a real possibility that Joe Milton was too good to be kept around because he just would have been a distraction. And teams that are serious limit distractions. There's some that are going to happen naturally. But Joe Milton's sticking around. Well, why are we keeping this backup quarterback around? You know, yeah. if he is, even if he's great, or even if he's Joe Milton, then he's going to go out there and throw two picks and have one deep ball pass that wows you. It's not worth it for them to have to deal with it. For the Cowboys, they don't see that, I guess. When you're the Dallas Cowboys, every move is a headline except for the last 50 underwhelming moves that you've made. But when you sign a quarterback in Dallas, it is bulletin board material, and you're just giving that. You're just handing that out to people.
You could draw the map of how it happens, too. It's going to happen in the preseason, and it's going to be something that is a narrative. I was reading about how this all came to fruition, and there are these anonymous sources that are leaking that Milton wants to be a starter and he doesn't want to be pinned behind somebody. And I guess he was a Cowboys fan growing up. But if that's the case, you don't want to be stuck behind someone. You don't want to be like, I don't want to go to Philadelphia. Let's go down the list. I don't want to go to Buffalo. You know, there's places where I would assume if Dallas is paid Dak Prescott that much money, I'm looking at that and saying, well, I can't go there. I'm never going to play. Unless in the league people know that if it doesn't happen, this professional quarterback that's been doing it for years, paid more money than God, if he looks bad, there's a chance that the flashy young, I don't know. It seems to me there's information being disseminated for a purpose that makes it seem like the Joe Milton thought that he was going to get a chance to play in Dallas.
You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he does play this year because in Dallas.
How many starts?
I'd say two starts this year for Joe Milton. I think two starts, he appears in four games. They get blown out. Maybe he appears in five. They're getting blown out, pull out Dak. Joe Milton comes in for the full fourth quarter, which good for Joe Milton, getting some burn. Going to Dallas and sitting behind there, there's a reason why Cooper Rush is a borderline household name for football fans. Sure. He got in. He got in plenty. Dak got hurt. He played plenty of second halves when the Cowboys were down against the Eagles by 40. Joe Milton's going to get in some games this year, and if he plays well, that just opens up another can of worms next to himself as a previous can of worms.
Will Greer is the only other quarterback. Let's go Mountaineers. God bless that guy. I mean, he fucking flamed. I thought he flamed out 4 years ago, and he's still cashing checks in the league. Go out there and make the money, young man. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And if they signed Davante Adams, or they were the ones that traded for Deebo Samuel, God forbid, DK Metcalf, like, I think we'd be having a very different conversation here. But it's very obvious to me that Jerry gave Dak Prescott that money and said, I paid you and I paid your guy CD. Now you got to go out there and Aaron Rodgers this bitch. You got to Peyton Manning this bitch. And I don't know that Dak can do it. I don't know that he can be the rising tide.
Not without another, not without a triplet, not without a really good running back or a phenomenal tight end or a phenomenal secondary wide receiver. Just Dak Prescott and CD Lamb. It will look a lot like this. This Cowboys team, unless they blow everyone's doors off with this NFL draft, it's going to look a lot like last year's Dallas Cowboys team.
Yeah.
Because they did not shockingly or just generally improve across the board at any position that would say, oh man, Dallas, maybe their secondary is going to be better. Nope. Going to look just about the same. Offensive line is going to be good. Quarterback's going to be decent. Maybe they can run the ball. Maybe. But it's going to be a lot of targets to CeeDee Lamb.
The Giants are going to get a generational player in the draft. The Commanders got better. They were in the NFC Championship game, and the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and they may be just as good, if not better. It's not going to get any easier for the Dallas Cowboys. What did you think about not only the owner of the Two-Tone Blue meeting with Cam, but they canceled. They saw fucking Shador throw and then canceled their meeting with him. First of all, I would go see it regardless. Like, I would send scouts or whatever you have to do to have some representation there just to keep the gamesmanship up. This is incredibly bold, letting everybody know this is the player we're going to take for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, you're not messing around. There's something to be said about playing the game and taking all the calls and working smoke screens and manipulating sources. Like, you know, that's real crafty GMsmanship. But if you're on a rebuild and you're a team that is trying to get better as soon as possible and find some foundational pieces of the future, just say that.
Yeah,
it's the right call. Hey, we got our guy. Now, unless you're going to come knocking on the door with a ridiculous, ludicrous offer, leave us alone because we got our guy. We've done our research. This is who we want to proceed with. Don't come calling with some lowball nonsense. I like it. I respect it. Just. Start looking at the second, third, and fourth round.
Do you think there would be value, Tor? I don't know how much. Cam Ward seems like a pretty confident guy. Do you think there'd be value in coming out and saying, we are not taking offers, that's our quarterback? Like, as far as a shot in the arm of confidence and stabilizing the fan base, like, do you think there would be any value in that, or is it just irresponsible to not leave the door cracked open in case one of these garbage trash franchises gets desperate and offers you 3 first-round picks?
I think... Obviously, there's a lot of stories of I was told this, it didn't happen.
Right.
So I think it's somewhat of a lurking sense of I can't take everything at face value. And even if Tennessee is telling Cam Ward, you're our guy, we're not budging, 0% chance we budge, there's still going to be a lurking 1% in the back of his mind. Sure. Of something could happen. Something could drop. Who knows? So, instilling that in him, it's fine. It's fine. I think that it can't hurt for him to think that he could start maybe learning more about the Titans game plan, maybe start getting in touch with their receivers and throwing around, or going to a camp and or going to a field and receiver. Just pass.
Receiver and Van Jefferson.
Yes, very well. Falcons legend Van Jefferson. Love it.
Speaking of Falcons legend, I thought maybe it'd be apropos for you to close the show out. Big story in the dirty, and of course Tennessee, Tampa Bay, and Philadelphia. I didn't realize your boy Julio had 3 touchdowns last year for the Eagles. They had to be the 3 most quiet touchdowns of all time, but I'd say his last really impactful season, 2019, 157 targets, 99 catches, 1,394 yards, 6 touchdowns. Clearly, I would say clearly a Hall of Famer. I saw you cracking a cold one and wishing him well in his future endeavors.
He's the best. He's the perfect NFL player. He never made one wave, never made a scene until Atlanta started messing around and messing with his money and messing with his extension. And then he said, yeah, I'm out. And basically he didn't even go out and say it. He got an illegal on-air phone call from Uncle Shannon Sharp on air, which broke me. That hurt a lot. And then I recall a couple days later driving on the GW Parkway, having to pull over, listening to AWOD radio break the news to me that Julio Jones gets traded to Tennessee. Pulled over on the side of the road, started throwing rocks into the Potomac River. Was late to work. Was 20 minutes late to work and missed uploading an update because I was so angry about my team's incompetence, letting a perfect football player go. Physicality, size, speed, the ability to run every route in the bag, leader, captain, model of consistency. Only thing that went wrong for him was a bad hamstring, and that happened after 10 years of pure excellence. He was a phenomenal trade up, the best pick made of the Thomas Dimitrov regime. I remember I was at a basketball tournament in 2011 when the news came, and I got the trade up information on another parent's cell phone. And then I used to access the internet before you could. And I think it cost him about $4 for the search. So that, yeah, it was worth it for me to see that we got Julio Jones and traded up for him. I was psyched. I've deleted many DMs to Julio Jones, a countless amount of weepy.
Are his DMs open?
They were. I never sent. I always held back.
Thank God. What if he left you on red? You wouldn't be able to fucking wake up the next day.
I'd be in my parents' basement, drunk off sock. I remember. I was watching the Dark Knight for the first time. Getting ready for a show with Shude the next day.
Oh.
Hammered off a sake.
Crying.
Crying, thinking about Julio Jones, watching
his highlights. About doing a show with Shude the next day.
And I'm just like, let me let him know how I feel. And then I said, no, let's not do that.
Never the sentence that starts like that is never one that you want to finish. Let me just let him know how I, you know what, I've always been, before I knew you, I was a Falcons fan, a bit of an apologist, big fan of Warwick Dunn when he went there, TJ Duckett. I was a Roddy White, I had a Roddy White throwback jersey, and it's interesting because they only had 2 years together where I would say they were both elite. Julio was becoming elite his rookie year, then his second year, they both were unstoppable, but the baton being passed from that guy to Julio, it's like, wow, you've had two number one A-list wide receivers for multiple generations here. I wish those two guys could have played like five solid seasons together in their prime. It would have been Rice and Taylor.
That 2012 to 2014 run with them was, yeah, it was just pure joy. And it was so much fun. I can't remember a bunch of the losses because I just remember being such a massive fan of the team. Now, obviously, as you mature, some of those massive fan tendencies wear off. But Julio Jones was a guy where even in my 20s, when he was still on the Atlanta Falcons, I would squeal when he caught a touchdown. I remember getting viciously mocked by friends when he had a touchdown against Minnesota early in his last season. I was like squealing like a little kid. And that was the impact that he had on me. And I actually will commend the Atlanta Falcons. I think that they have gone above and beyond for a lot of the retirement posts. They won't stop. I like it. They are including messages from other teammates. Julio making the announcements on 404 day was a great nod to Atlanta also. And I don't think you're going to find anybody that comes out and says, I have a bad word to say about Julio Jones. Professionally, in the media, is just a perfect football player, top to bottom. My number two wide receiver all time. I know people would say Randy Moss or T.O. Higher, but that's different. I'm too embedded with him, and that is a delusional take I'll take with me to the grave. I think just a supremely gifted football player that played it the right way the whole time.
How come Michael Turner doesn't get more run from Falcons fans? Because they brought him over from San Diego before, you know, he was an all-pro caliber player. He had popped a little bit, but I mean, you're talking about a 1,700-yard season. He retired four and a half yards a carry. I was so steamed up. I mean, I won two fantasy championships with that motherfucker. I flexing knowledge. I just loved him. Loved his running style. I never see any of his jerseys. I didn't even hear anybody talk about him.
No, he was incredible. And he came in. He played a great role. He was a massive piece for Matt Ryan's development because he had this guy that when you turned around to hand the ball off, he's just going to keep going forward. He's going to move the offensive long. Make my job easier. In their first game versus the Lions in 2008, Matt Ryan's first pass is a touchdown and Michael Turner's second run is a touchdown. Before that, he ran for like 30 yards up the gut. And you said, wow, they are cooking with something. It is actually an offense that is not Joey Harrington. And we're moving past the Michael Vick saga. And in like one game against a wretched Detroit team, they wiped the slate clean and it was a new era. It was like the quickest change of culture that you could see in the NFL.
But he had 80 carries as his most workload with the San Diego Chargers in four seasons, his first year in Atlanta, 376 carries. Get fucked. I wouldn't be able to walk up and down the stairs 376 times in 17 weeks, much less have 376 collisions. What a stud.
Mike Smith was a hardo. You were going to run the rock and you were going to play defense.
Yeah, but they had weapons too. And then Matt Ryan was, that was, you know, I told you I was there for Matt Ryan's first home start, right? They played that Lions game. And then Roy Williams was over there fucking, he was not even huddling up with the team and he was fighting with the Falcons fans sitting in front of me, Dane and Barty. It was so goddamn funny.
I got to see Mike Smith fight D'Angelo Hall at the Georgia Dome in 2012. It was awesome.
D'Angelo Hall, that's when the whole goddamn crowd was coming after him.
Right in front of me, right second row. I'm sitting there next to my dad like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I didn't know they got down like this in football. And it was right there. And I'm like, Why are none of the Redskins players coming over to
help? None of them. I think Haynesworth was the only one that went over there, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he was like the first to get in the mix.
D'Angelo Hall doing that fucking Jon Snow meme by himself before that shit even existed.
It's a 30 on one. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm going to watch that later. That was the shit. Such a fun fight.
D'Angelo, when he wasn't picking up, was it Grossman? Who did he pick off four times? Oh, Cutler. Every time he played Jay Cutler, he picked him off three or four times. The best. Al Sal, $5. Thank you, buddy. I understand Taurus Falcons fandom. When Vic went to the Falcons, we would have radio football parties because they played the Falcons in Blacksburg. Yeah, I mean, there was a whole generation of fans that, I mean, the Falcons were kind of a, no disrespect, but a joke. Like,
yeah,
you know, the Redskins fandom stretched all the way down to Florida, even after the Panthers came around, and then they started to shit the bed, and then Mike Vick showed up and they did a lot better. But still, if you go to Atlanta, it's the Bulldogs. People don't even care about Georgia Tech, and it's inside the confines of the city. It's Bulldogs football. All right. Thank you, Al Sal. Thank you to all of our super chatters. Jeff Nelms, Cool Story Bros, Flacco Berry, Jorge Gonzalez. And congratulations to you, Tor, for your best favorite player retiring and for a number of other things.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Hopefully they don't botch the Ring of Honor ceremony. Hopefully they retire the number. I'd love to have number 2 and number 11 retired. Throw 84 in there at one fell sweep. No receivers worth 84 anymore anyways. So just knock them all out, and then you actually have a legacy. And you are honoring players that came in and made a significant impact on your city. That is the next call to action for Atlanta.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Julio Jones?
Yeah.
First ballot.
Yeah, I would have to think so. All right, Tar, I'm headed over to Subway to get the new footlong Doritos nachos. Do you think the line is going to be short, or do you think the line's going to be long?
I'd say it's long.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long.
Both types of sports.